a great morning. I really enjoyed the worship. It's good for us, and we need to do it. We need to be involved, and it's part of our time with the Lord. Now, if you're here today, that's great. Chris and Kayleen have again today brought in half their garden. There's tomatoes and corn out there. As it happens, the message that God gave me for this morning is called, It's Harvest Time. And just because the food is out there and it's free, now listen to me, it doesn't mean to say that you just take everything. It's for sharing. So what you need, take, but remember there are other people who have to get from it too. So it's harvest time, praise the Lord. I thought about this for a little while, you know, and it brought some things to my memory. Like Elizabeth, I have memories of my own father had a garden and grew his vegetables, as did Elizabeth's dad. Her dad had a quarter acre plot, he called it the plot, and he grew his vegetables there all the time. But both my grandfathers had large gardens. The grandfather on my mother's side, we lived nearest to him, and I can remember as a child, probably about Esther's age, 8, 9, 10 years old, because it was only a few hundred yards up the road, my mother would say, go up to Granddad and tell him, you know, I need some potatoes, and I need some peas, and I need some beans, and I need some rhubarb, and whatever it was, and I'd go up with the basket, and he'd just take me out. I can remember my grandfather taking me into the garden, and he says, well, we'll just pull up the potatoes right now, you know, and so potatoes straight out of the ground, fresh. He says, we'll just go and pick the beans. So this is where I got a love for broad beans. I love broad beans. Not so keen on the long ones, but I love the broad beans. And so we'd pull the broad beans and the peas, and he says, now let's go get the rhubarb or whatever. And I'd just get this big basket of vegetables and bring them all back to my mother again. Those are things that are in my memory. But you see, in springtime, farmers and gardeners are busy preparing their land and cleaning up and getting ready, and they take these little seeds, you know, little tiny little things, and they plant them into the ground, and they believe that if they give them the right attention, that those little plants will grow up and become what God planned them to be, whether they're beans or peas or rhubarb or whatever it happens to be. But there's nothing like the taste of fresh vegetables. You can go to the supermarket and all of that, and it's wonderful, and thank God for it. But, you know, if you can get them straight from the farm or straight from the garden, that's wonderful. Now, if you want to enjoy the harvest, you really need to understand how it all works. My grandfather knew about giving and receiving. He knew that if he gave away his vegetables and so forth, that there'd always be plenty more, just like Chris and Kayleen. The more they give away, the more they seem to have. I mean, I've lost count. Look, it's almost a weekly situation. Almost every Sunday, they're bringing in vegetables of some sort for you. What are they doing? They're giving. They're being generous. They're sharing what they've got. And that's the result of a good harvest. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you this morning. And we haven't given the list to the folks at the back, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9 in the New King James Bible says it like this. Let him who is taught on the word share in all good things with he who teaches. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, a lot of people do planting, but they never tend the seeds, they never look after them, and then they lose heart, and so as a result they never get any harvest. Verse 7 in the Amplified Bible says, Do not be deceived or deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside, he inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. Now listen to the Living Bible. I love these different translations. Galatians 6:7, Living Bible. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop that he sows. Now, all through the Word of God, there's so many things about sowing and reaping, because it's one of the major principles or one of the major laws that God has placed in His Word. And that verse in the Living Bible simply says that a man will always reap, a person will always reap exactly what they sow. The analogy, I guess, is really that spiritual sowing can be compared to a farmer's sowing and reaping program. We have to understand these principles. They're things that will help us to grow and be strong and be all that God wants us to be. Because so many times there are issues between husbands and wives, there's issues between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and all of these things. And it's really because of the seeds that we sow. The words that come out of your mouth are seeds. So we need to be very careful what we sow. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, it says this: Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it is so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. What that tells me is that every seed that you sow will produce a harvest after its own kind. If you sow seeds of disharmony, seeds of anger, they're going to produce a harvest of disharmony and anger. You need to be very, very careful what you sow. God has designed it that all of His plants, if you like, and everything, you realize that everything on the earth originally came from heaven. You do understand all that. This is a copy of, a lot of people don't seem to get that. But God has planned it so that every plant will produce after its own kind. You don't sow potatoes and get a harvest of beans. You don't sow peas and get a harvest of rhubarb or whatever it is. Whatever you sow is what you are going to reap. Every seed has a specific purpose. Every seed has a specific DNA in it. You realize that you came from a seed. Oh, some of you are not sure about that. Sometimes when I look out, I wonder. But anyway. Where we live just around the corner here, we don't live very far away. But we can walk to the shopping center over there, to Westfield Shopping Center. And if we walk across to the shopping center, we go up just, I think it's probably two streets, and we're just across a little grassy area, which is now being transformed into a car park. But a couple of years ago, we were walking across there, and I noticed there's a big old gum tree that was there. It had been there in that area before the shopping center came, and it was still there. You know, that all the branches going out in all different directions, and there's no bark on the tree at all. And I looked at the tree, and as Elizabeth and I walked along, and it made me think that that big old tree, it's been there, I don't know, maybe 50, 60, 100 years, but it came from a little seed. Everything comes from a seed. See, your words and your actions are seeds. So you need to be very careful what you say to your family, and especially to your children. I remember Elizabeth was always telling our son Ian, "You're a genius, you can do whatever you want to do, you go ahead and do it." And he had to, a time when Elizabeth had to go up to the school, I was working, and Elizabeth went to school to have a teacher's report. And the teacher said, "Look, he's got so much initiative as a little child." And she showed Elizabeth some of the things that he could do in the class. And when she came home, Ian said to her, "Well, what did the teacher say?" And she said, well, the teacher said, you're a genius. You can do anything you want to do. See, even though sometimes Ian, and he's here, he didn't enjoy math all that much. He didn't enjoy English all that much. And those weren't his strong points. But he had enough smarts to get on with and cover those things and get on with the job. Now he owns his own business and has had several businesses. Right? Because he's a genius. He can do what he wants to do. Now the same principle applies to each one of you. You can do anything you want to do. You don't have to accept what people say. The system says, oh, well, you know, you got 70% in this exam. Okay, so you got 70%. When I got 70%, I was happy. But, you know, you go ahead and you push through and you do what you have to do. You say, God, I can do this. Now, because your words and your actions are seeds, there's always going to be a harvest. Always. There's never not going to be a harvest. Unless you change it. See, some of the things we say, and I mean, before Elizabeth and I were married, I had said things to her which I regretted later. Because I didn't know any better. Before I was saved, you know, I would, because of my background, being a policeman, number one, and a bouncer working in clubs and pubs, number two, there are certain, Steve was a policeman, you deal with people. And you find generally, if you're a policeman, people are not all that keen on doing what you want them to do. So you have to use your authority. And I tended as a policeman when I'd come home to bring some of the authority home and try to use it on my dear little wife. But I soon discovered that she didn't respond so good to that. So what you sow, you reap. And I had problems in my life because of the way I lived. So I'm just wondering this morning, what are you sowing into the lives of those around you? And you say, well, Norm, you know, you don't know my wife. You don't know what my husband did. I don't know, and I don't care. What are you doing? What are you sowing? I mean, that husband, that wife might be doing all these terrible, awful, rotten, bodacious things to you. But the Bible says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. So you have to come to a place where you're going to start sowing seeds that are love seeds. Seeds that are based on the Word of God. See, how many of you believe that you can use your faith? Okay, well, some of you are not sure about this. Faith works by love. If you're not operating in love, your faith isn't working. Now, that's just settling in. Some of you, I can sort of see it filtering down through, saying, oh. Faith, Galatians chapter 5 tells us, faith works by love. Works by love. I'm going to say it again. Faith worketh by love. So what are you sowing into your family, into the people that are around about you? And maybe what are you sowing into your own life? What are you sowing into your future? What are you saying? You know, we were here on Thursday night for our service, and a number of people had prayer. But I still get amazed that even after the message that I preached, which was called Healing Starts on the Inside, that people would still say, oh, but I got this. They want to tell you what they got rather than what God says they got. And some of you are here. I was listening to you afterwards. And then you wonder why. How come I didn't get healed? How come it didn't work for me? Here's the answer. Death and life in the power of your tongue for you. So we need to start saying what God says. See, this will work with encouragement. You sow seeds of encouragement, sow seeds of hope, seeds of blessing, seeds of love, even seeds of money. It will work. It works. It is a reproduction system that God has put into the world. Let me read you a little verse from Proverbs 11 and 25. I'm going to read it, first of all, from the Good News Bible. Proverbs 11, 25. This is what it says. Be generous and you will be prosperous. That's a good verse. Be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. The New Living Testament says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. I just looked at that as I was putting it down. And it says, when you refresh others, you will be refreshed. Now, the word refresh means to restore or revive. See, we're not about putting people down. Oh, but you don't know what he said. You don't know what she said. I don't care. Our job is to refresh and restore and revive. And in turn, we will be restored and refreshed and revived. See, when you reach out to others to restore them and offer strength to them, do something to help them, you're already planting seeds into your own future. Remember, I read a verse to begin, whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he's going to reap. So when you're helping someone else, like these guys bringing all the vegetables and stuff week after week after week, you know, they are sowing into their own future. And I know that, hey, your harvest is just going to keep going up and up and up and up, Chris. It's just going to keep on keeping on. You're never ever going to be at a place where you will ever need to say we don't have any food. You have already sown sufficient to keep you in food until Jesus comes. Then you won't need it. Think about what I'm saying. What you sow, you will reap. But you see, how can I restore? How can I revive? How can I refresh someone? Well, give them a smile. Good start. Give them a kind word. Even though they do some terrible things, give them a kind word. You could, perhaps if you're over at the Shell service station, you're filling your car up with petrol or diesel or whatever you happen to use, you could say to someone else, hey, I'll just pay for your petrol today. How's that? You say, would you do that? Yeah, it's happened to me on a number of occasions. We had a man filled up our car for a month. There was a petrol strike on in Melbourne. And this man came to me and he said, Norm, he says, I have an account with a petrol station. He said, I'd like you to go to the petrol station and fill your car up on my account as much as you need. He says, there's no shortage. I have an account. It's okay. So I had a Holden Kingswood, I think, at the time. So I filled the King's V6, filled the Kingswood up. And then we went to different people in the church and said, you short of petrol? So we siphoned some out of mine and put them into that one and put them into that one and put them into that one. And then I went back and filled mine up again and gave it out again. And, you know, that one man sowed enough into to us to keep us going just with petrol. About a year ago or 18 months, I was in Coles, the shopping center over here, Coles, getting a few things, getting my paper and getting a couple little bits of groceries. And there was a young mother was in front of me in the queue, and she had a couple little kids in her trolley. She had her groceries there. But when the girl counted it all up, she found she was short. She didn't have enough money to pay for her groceries. And she said, oh, I'm going to have to put back that cabbage. I'm going to have to put back, you know, this. And she was figuring out, I got to put this back, put that. So I was behind her, and I said, don't put anything back. I said, just leave it in there. I'll pay for it. It's okay. So I paid for her groceries. It was about $150 worth. I just paid it for her and paid my own. Mine was only about $20, but I paid hers. And she said, oh, give me your address. When my husband comes home from work, I'll bring the money round to you. I said, no, no. This is the least I can do for you because this is what Jesus would want me to do. And so we prayed for her groceries, and that was it. There's no question about it. I wouldn't take it back again. See, what was I doing? I was refreshing her, and in her being refreshed, I was sowing seeds of refreshment for myself. We were sowing it. Now, you could, if you're good in the kitchen, like Hazel or Marie, you could say, well, hey, I'll make you a special meal. Flour over here. Every week, this lady here brings us a meal, Elizabeth and I a meal. Every week, what's she doing? She's refreshing us. She's sowing seeds. And again, you're never going to be at a place where you'll have a need for food. Why? Because you just keep sowing food. So I'm here. I'm not asking you for food. We've got more than enough. But that lady brings us one every week. And it's always good. She makes good curry. Praise the Lord. So if you're not sure what to do, ask God. Say, God, how can I refresh or restore or revive other people? And God will tell you. He'll show you what to do. But you have to get in the habit of looking for opportunities to be a blessing, not to be blessed all the time. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Don't always just be a taker. Be someone who, again, I can speak from experience in these things. I've been doing this for a long time. Elizabeth and I, we've been in ministry now 40 plus years, more than 45, 46 years. And in every church that we've been in, there's always been givers and takers. There's givers and takers here. That's just how it is. That's the nature of the beast, if you like. Don't always be a taker. Don't take more than you need. When it's free, people think, oh, they live with this depression mentality that, well, I might not have enough. There's always going to be enough. Don't worry about global warming. When God created this whole thing, He made enough to take care of all the people who are going to be on the earth until Jesus comes. Now, after we're out of here, it's up to those that are left. There may be a global warming problem then, because the sun, the S-O... you've missed it. Mark, 2 weeks running, Mark has brought in, I saw him carry in trays of eggs. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 dozen eggs. How many eggs can one person eat? They're put into little dishes out there, half a dozen eggs in a dish, but you know, I saw people carry whole trays out. There's 6 trays, I'll take 2. Be a giver, not a taker. We're not saying don't take. Take what you need, but be a sower. I'm just thinking about things that are springing up in my mind. Kayleen, wonderful. Kayleen's one of those people who just has such a heart to give. At least 2 or 3 occasions to my memory, she has brought, I don't know how much, several tablefuls of things. And she said, take what you want. And you know, we've got some bits and pieces off it too. But I've also noticed other people say, I'll take that, half a tableful, just because it's there. Hazel put almost everything out of her kitchen out recently when she moved house. I get amazed that people who know better or should know better are almost fighting over things that are free. Am I being too blunt about all this? I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm just telling you, there's a principle that works. It's a principle called sowing seeds and reaping harvests. Listen to me. This is the last thing I'm going to say about taking. Takers are not sowers, and they never get harvests. That's why they're always in need. All right, let me close with, I'm going to give you 4 keys to close the message today. Our time's just about gone. Number 1, all life comes from a seed. You come from a seed. Animals come from seeds. Plants come from seeds. Everything comes from a seed. That's how it works. The seed perpetuates its own life. God has built the ability to reproduce in the seed. And so when the seed is given the right, environment, that's the word, the right environment, it will reproduce, and it will produce after its own kind. You're here because your father and mother got together. A seed was planted into your mother's womb, and here you are. The life or the ability to reproduce has been built into the seed by God. Listen to the Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, is the earth still here? Okay. while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. The law of seed time and harvest working right now. Mark has taken on almost single-handedly to supply the Bibles for Romania. We have, in the account for Romania, I'll just tell you what's happening. You know, we try to, for I think, is it two or three years, Chris? We've been doing the camp. We've given $3,000 each year, roughly, sometimes $3,300, $3,400, whatever, around about $3,000. Sent it to Russell and Rosie in Romania to run this children's camp, this young people's camp, and that has been good. But then they said last year, we'd really like to give every one of them a Bible. So we've been looking for Bibles. I got on to Thomas over here. Thomas has connections in India and Germany and different places, and he has discovered that we can get Bibles printed in Germany in Romanian language and shipped to Romania. And the just a ballpark figure, it's going to be about €400 plus shipping. So the total is about $750, something like dollars, about $750 to get these 40 Bibles printed in Romanian and shipped to Romania. Mark's taken it on almost single-handedly. He said, okay, I'll look after it. See why? Because he's a sower. Thomas has decided that he can make the contacts and get it organized. He's sowing his time and his expertise in those areas. So the situation with Romania, just for your information, is we have almost $3,000 in the account for the camp. We have about $700 has come in toward the Bibles, or maybe some more. So we're just almost there. But don't let that deter you from saying, oh, I'd like to help. Because the more we can put in to the camp in Romania, the more of those children can be taught how to swim. Some of them have never, ever been in a swimming situation. And so last year they were able to do, I think, was it 12 or 15? They were able to take them and buy them costumes and get them swimming so they can at least swim and save their own lives if they have to. See, that it's more than just preaching the Bible to them. Thank God, that's it's all based on that. So they're going to have Bibles, thank God, but some more are going to learn to swim. The seed time and harvest, it's still working. You have opportunities to sow seeds. If you want to sow something for Romania, just put it in an envelope and say Romania. It'll go in the account. Think about a seed for a minute. I'm trying to get this closed down for you for this morning. Think about a seed. A seed is nothing more than something that looks like a little dried up husk. But when you plant that seed into the ground and give it the right surroundings, give it water and the right conditions and sunlight and all of those things, it will burst out of that little shell and start to produce the tree. Now, I want you to think about this. If in that same patch where you're putting the seed in, if you took, say, a ruby or a diamond and planted it in the ground right beside the little seed that you put in there, when the plant would grow up from the seed and you uncovered the soil, the diamond or the ruby would still be there. It wouldn't have changed because it doesn't have any life in it. See, it's not about diamonds and rubies. It's about seeds. When a seed grows, it brings forth fruit, brings forth vegetation, brings forth beautiful flowers, smell, all those wonderful things. But number two is this: the seed must be planted in order to produce the life. It must be planted and watered and taken care of in order to produce the life. As a ministry here, now it's Family Faith Center, we have given away, I would say, probably thousands of dollars of CDs and books, not just here alone, but around the world. Every week, I'm sending CDs and books out to people in Africa and India and other places. We're sending our stuff overseas, and they're being blessed. See, I understand the principle that as you sow, you will also reap. Let me read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Three steps: planting, watering, and harvesting. We do the planting, someone else does the watering, but it's God that always gives the increase. How can you improve in your life? You can listen to the CDs we give you. I said on Thursday night, bathe yourself in these things. Spend time in the Word. It sometimes takes a little while for things to happen. That brings us into number three. The seed will take time to grow. It doesn't just grow overnight. In Mark 4, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He should sleep night and day and rise, and the seed should sprout up and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. There is a pattern, there's a time limit, there's a way this works. So it has to be given time to grow and produce. You don't sow your seed right now, and the harvest is immediate. That's called miracle. That's a miracle. But it takes time for the seed to burst into life and come forth. Let me give you the fourth one, number four. Seed produces a multiplication of itself. That's why it's called the harvest. Every seed produces after its own kind. Genesis 26, verse 12 says, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. But when it says the same year, that was the year of famine. So he sowed in the famine and reaped 100-fold. So this morning I want to encourage you, pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do by way of your words, by way of your deeds, by way of your finance, whatever it is. You ask God and he'll show you. Did you understand what I'm saying? Hey, it's harvest time. We've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Now we're saying, hey, harvest time. It's time to have a harvest. Jesse Duplantis, I think it was, preached a message, said, hey, where's my harvest? Where's your harvest? It's in your mouth. Thanks, Ian. Come finish for us.
Preaching, we need to be reminded, you know, many of us Christians have sown and sown and sown and sown and sown and sown and put it into the gospel. But when it comes to actually claiming our harvest and speaking it out and receiving it by faith, we've never actioned it. You know, so we've got to be reminded to do that, which we're being done. Amen. So we're going to do our tithes and offerings. Let me encourage you with something here. Do you know what the word poor means? Let me tell you about being poor. This is very interesting. It says, poor is lacking sufficient money to live at a standard consistent and comfortable, or as would be normal in society. That's what being poor is. It also is known as not having enough necessity, as being poverty-stricken, underprivileged. There's a whole range of things there for the word poor, but it certainly means not having enough. And you know what? Sometimes, for a lack of knowledge, we don't have enough. I don't know whether you can say, some people may say, I've never been poor. But by that description, I have experienced poverty before. Being poor, not having enough, not having enough. So that description is very true, but it's not nice. And so, praise God. But with wisdom and knowledge and application and using our faith, we can come out of that. And I want to encourage you with a couple of scriptures today. But I remember when Kim and I were first married, just to expand on that, I worked a daytime job, and every single cent after tax from that daytime job was enough to pay the mortgage payment. We bought our first house. There was $20 left over for everything. Gas, food, the whole thing. So I went and got a second job. So I'd work, you know, 9 to 5, then I'd work in the evening for another 3 hours to get that little bit extra money. But I can remember, and it was embarrassing. I've been taught faith all my life. Yet here I am experiencing not enough. I can remember going to the ashtray of the car where we put all our 10 cents and 5 cents, throw all your loose change in there. And I got 65 cents out one evening. That's all we had, 65 cents. And that was enough to buy a 250-litre, the little litres of milk for Joshua, we only had one child, for Joshua's breakfast the next day. That is poverty, my friends. Yet I've been taught faith all my life. But you know what? It's according to your faith it's going to be unto you. It's the revelation that you know, not the revelation. It's the revelation that you put into practice. And so over time, you have to start to say for yourself, as we've been taught today, get a rein on your tongue and not say, I don't have enough. How are we going to do it? You've got to get to a point where you go, I have enough. My God has met all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You have to start saying only that you want. And over time, if you do that, you will then sow those seeds and you'll reap the harvest. Praise God, today that's not an issue. We don't have a problem with those things, but I've experienced what the definition of poverty is, and it's not nice. But let me encourage you here. You don't have to be poor anymore, regardless of where you're at today. Because the word of God says here in Luke verse 4 and 18, this is Jesus speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to teach the gospel to the poor. The Amplified says, to preach good news to the poor. Good news is you don't have to be poor anymore. And if we go back to, I'll just jump into Isaiah here quickly. Isaiah 10. Isaiah verse 10, it says here, it shall come to pass in the day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed, not broken, destroyed because of the anointing of the oil. Praise God. Did you know today that the yoke of poverty, the yoke of lack, the yoke of not enough, that's Isaiah 10:27, has been completely destroyed off of your life. Completely destroyed. Now, whether you walk in it or not is up to you and I to speak what the Word of God says and to use our faith. By faith, we appropriate in our lives. Let me just read the Amplified to you here quickly. It says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness. Fatness in the word speaks of abundance. It speaks of prosperity. The word says the fatness is off the Lord. It says the yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness, which prevents the fatness, the abundance, prevents it from going around your neck. Poverty can't touch you because of the fatness that has been provided by the Lord. Praise God. So I want to encourage you today that there's a lot of people even today who do experience poverty and experience not enough. But as we've been taught, if we sow our seeds, if we get our confession right, then praise God, you can walk free from it and you can walk in abundance. So as Dad said, every seed we don't sow is a harvest we're not going to reap. You know what? You don't see any farmers going along and going, you know what, we've had 3 years of bad harvest. This year, I'm not sowing nothing. I'm not taking that chance again. The farmer goes, no, let's get everything in the ground we have. In fact, mortgage the farm, get more seed in because we have to plant because we need a harvest now more than ever. Yeah. Amen? So I encourage you, get your harvest in the ground. You guys know how to sow. You're good givers. I encourage you with that. But as we've been taught today, line up our confession. Amen? Yeah. Only say, you know, faith works by love. So here's an example of good Christians. Love the Lord. Go on to heaven. Pay in their seed. Putting the tithe in. Believing for things to be right. Thank you, Lord. All my needs are met according to your riches in glory. Wife, what are you doing that for? You're stupid. You always do the wrong thing. Faith worketh by love.
Yeah.
Is a harvest coming?
No.
If you keep that up?
No.
No, you're not walking in love. You have to keep on the love walk to keep your harvest coming in. Faith worketh by love. You can't go to the kids, look at that room. That's a mess. You never tidy your room. You're useless. You're never going to be anything. That's not love. And you're over here going, Father God, thank you for meeting my needs. Yet you're cussing somebody out over here.
Yeah.
Faith works by love. You have to bite your tongue and go, you know what? I could say, I want to say, but I'm not going to say. When, you know, you go into, trust me, I've got teenagers, I've had teenagers. You go into it and the room is an absolute, I'm a neat freak. I'm not OCD, but I'm neat. I like everything in order. I like books stacked in order. I like things clean and tidy. That's me. And when I go into one of the kids' rooms and it's like a bomb's gone off, I just say, love, you know, if you tidy that up, that'd be great. And I walk out and I go, thank you, Lord. All my children are taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of them. And then I may say to them, I said, you know what, if you're obedient to your parents, you'll be blessed. Yes. So if you could tidy that all up, get that pile of dirty washing, and you put that in the basket so mum can wash it. You know, the laundry's three steps away. I mean, just do this, you know, just tidy up a little bit. So this, in my life, daily, I choose to say only what I want and to not react, because I know, even if there's something, there's a customer, maybe there's strife that's caused, they're angry about something, or they're demanding more than this, but there's some issue. Somebody's on the phone. Somebody's had a bad day. You have to choose to walk in love. Yeah. Because, and I've said to the kids, stay out of strife. I want my harvest to produce. I want it to come up. I want my faith to produce. And faith only works by love. Amen. Do you see that? Yeah. So praise God. So I encourage you, as we sow our seeds, let's sow our seeds, let's believe the Lord, but then let's keep on the love walk. Why? And why can you do it? I'll tell you why you can do it. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart and my heart. Yeah. We're well able to walk in love and hold our tongue. Amen. Yeah. Let's get our tithes and offerings. Let's stand. And we're going to take now. Now, Chris and Kay, would you come and help me, folks, and take this up one side and then the other? That'd be great. Watch that. Thanks, Chris. That's terrific. We'll have a wee confession. We'll just have a custom confession, if that's all right. You know what a custom confession is? It's one right off the bat. So just hold on, guys, and we'll have a confession. So let's just say today after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you have supplied all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I activate my faith. I choose to believe the Word of God over anything I can see. And all my needs are met now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I choose today and every day forward to walk in love. I will not be offended. I will not get upset. I will do nothing that stops my faith. And I'll receive everything that heaven has for me, that you have prepared by my faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, if you keep your conversation lined up with the Word of God, you're going to be blessed. Amen. And as Dad said, it may take a wee bit of time for the harvest, but just keep on it and keep at it, and you will get the result. Praise the Lord. And you'll be blessed. But we just got to, you know, sometimes you need reminding. And even though you've been taught, sometimes you've, you know, that's why, you know, faith come by hearing the Word and hearing and hearing. Because even though we've been taught, we have to apply it. And you might have heard the Word for a long time, but then you hear one little thing that just sets it off. Now, Brother Chris.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get you to pray for the offering. Come, Kayleen. I'm going to pray for the offering. Stay with us, Kay. With both you guys are blessing, so you know how to sow seed. You're going to agree with us. So, Chris, I'm going to ask you to pray for it and bless it, and we're going to say amen. All right, bow our heads. Thank you, Father.
Father God, thank you for the message that we had today. Thank you for our leaders in this church. Thank you for all the marvellous miracles and faithfulness that you give us, and all you ask for us is just love and faith in you, Lord. We get so much grace from you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We ask that this money go forward and do your good work. And in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks, guys. Praise God. God's a good God, amen? A good God.